Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Punxton, Tallulah, Louisiana. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, professional reptile rodeo clown, founder of the Great Illinois River Raft Race, and one of the best-loved insurance agents in America, Gregory J. Ringhausen. Also featuring author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, devoted husband and father, a man's man who can cook and eat Brussels sprouts, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Was that fake applause or static?
I saw that. I heard
that was put some applause in it.
That's pretty good.
Wow. That's wonderful, Rick.
Nice technique.
Good evening. Welcome to our show.
Wow. Fake applause.
Episode 9.
Ooh, you know, episode 9. This is a classic. It's the pile driver.
Oh, man.
Tell what the pile driver is.
That's where he picked the guy up and slammed his head into the floor.
The mat.
Kind of like you do with your little brother when you're... It's kind of the first wrestling hold that families learned when there were multiples of them, that the big ones would do that to the little one, right?
Pile driver?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least when you watch the Sunday morning professional wrestling show, they'd, you know, like, grab the guy around the waist from the back, and he's upside down, and they'd actually, like, clench his head between their legs and then drop down to the canvas and pile drive him.
Yeah.
That would be a headache. That's
harsh. I mean,
it's pretty harsh. You're
right. They talk about, you know, contusions or...
Wow, just squeeze your spine together. When,
you know, like if a quarterback in football takes a shot to the head and they're, you know, they make him take a concussion break now.
Yeah, but compared to professional wrestlers.
Oh, those guys weren't NFL, football players aren't even
NFL
athletes.
Quarterbacks
compared to
them. Are girly men.
Especially not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Tom Brady made a fortune.
A lot.
He's not listening to this podcast.
Well, you never
know. Oh,
you never know.
That's something else I needed to bring up about this podcast is we're international.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we have international listeners.
The analytics page that we pull up shows that we have a listener in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I would say hello, but I don't know how.
Hey.
Hello.
Is that how they talk there, Rick?
I'm pretty sure.
What language is it? Dutch? They speak Dutch in the Netherlands, right?
They kind of speak German, don't they?
You're from Calhoun, Greg. You probably got a little bit of Dutch language that you've picked up over the years, right?
No, not really. No.
To be determined. Guess what? What I got to thinking about when I heard that opening about the Brussels sprouts, which are kind of like little cabbages.
Yeah.
Do you know what Sue made the other day?
What?
My wife?
Little cabbages?
No. She made cabbage steaks.
Oh, I know. I've seen those.
What?
Yes.
Tell them, Greg.
Well, I mean, they just slice in thick slices and you know.
Take a whole cabbage head.
And slice them.
About inch thick, three quarters of an inch thick.
And they stay together very well.
And you season them up.
And then you throw them on the grill.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Are they?
Yeah.
That sounds good. I like cabbage.
It's cabbage good, steaks.
Not bad.
You know how you pick a good cabbage?
Thumping just it. Like you pick your girlfriend.
It's by weight. The heavier, the better.
There you go.
The leaves. Like I was saying.
Wow.
Really, the heavier, the better on cabbage, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You can pick up two heads of cabbage that are the same diameter, but when you weigh them, you know, one can be, you know, like 50% heavier than the other, and that's how you choose a good quality cabbage.
Back in the day, could you tell a 3-pound bag of apples just by holding it?
Whether
it was
absolutely.
3 pounds.
In a,
close enough like that the scales, you don't even need scales.
This is missing an apple. Need another
short an apple.
Put it back in there. Yeah, it needs one.
Yeah.
You could tell. And you pick up several thousands of those, you know, in a day.
So if you're,
you know,
if your job is running a gourmet restaurant and they send you to the farmer's market to buy the cabbages, you'd be able to do it.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, can
or
you
if they wanted me to go out and pick up a 3-pound chicken,
you could do that.
I don't even need a scale.
Yeah. Now, melons, can you handle those? Water, cantaloupe?
Do you know a good watermelon when you see it?
Yeah. Do you have to pluck
What's the cue for a good watermelon?
You want to know the secret to a good watermelon?
Yes, trying to get that advice too.
You put your hand on each end of the watermelon, you know, the flower end and the stem end, and then you put it right to your ear, where your ear's touching the middle of the melon, and then you squeeze in from both sides, and if you hear this just ever so slight crackling sound.
And that's the sound of a good watermelon.
That's the sound of a good watermelon.
Hmm. Well, let me tell you about a quick story about choosing watermelons.
You want to know how to choose a good cantaloupe?
Yes.
Shake it. And if the seeds are loose sliding around inside of it, it's ripe. It's ready.
Good. Choosing watermelons.
What else you want to know?
I'm going to tell my story about Larry Klunk picking watermelons.
Oh, God. Okay, go ahead.
Going to the state fair, right? It's an expedition to the state fair, four of us. And...
Go ahead. Start from the beginning.
Decide we're going to the state fair, and it's me and Alan, Larry Klunk, and maybe Donnie Gettin. That's the fourth. But it don't matter. Larry Klunk's the giant of our group who worked for us and was our drummer and friend.
Right.
He's still alive.
He's still alive.
Okay. We decided we're going to the fair.
We had all gathered at the orchard because we were going to work that morning, and Larry worked at the orchard with us.
Gotcha.
So at the just spur of the moment, decide we're going to Springfield. Let's go to the state fair right now. And Larry says, okay, but let me eat my lunch first.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be very important.
So he ate his lunch, and then we went to the fair.
How long did it take for him to eat his lunch?
Not very long.
So then we got beer because it was a trip to the fair.
Well, yeah, it's a long road.
Drank beer all the way up to the fair.
Rick, you drank beer?
No, I was the driver.
I got you.
It was always my job.
All right.
Get to the fair, and Larry Klunk ate his way through the fair is the only way to describe that.
Okay. You've been to the state fair.
Love it.
Many times.
Yeah.
And at the fair, they have foods that are available that you don't get other places or any other time of the year.
Exactly.
If you came home and you saw that your brother had a big pan where he was cooking up a bunch of stuff that he just gathered up and mixed it all together, you'd look at it and go, oh, I don't think so. But if some stranger's making it at the state fair,
yeah,
I put a lot of that stuff on top of my brat.
Yeah.
That's got to be good. It's at the state fair.
Shake your beard out a little bit. Anyway, so out. He had funnel cake.
Do you want me to season that?
He had funnel cake.
Yeah.
He had a ribeye steak sandwich.
Ooh.
Kielbasa's.
Yeah, that's right. I did have kielbasa with all that stuff on it that you were talking about, like onions and peppers.
And the just, beard shaking.
Yeah, just put some of everything on it. So he eats that. He had a lemon shake up.
We got to wash that down with stuff. Yeah.
I remember I had a pork burger because I love the pork burgers at the fair. I'm not sure what I was saying. But then we leave there, and on the way home, we stop at a Burger King and he gets a Whopper. He's on it, he's eating all this other stuff.
So then we're going to stop at a watermelon stand that we saw on the way
on up. The way up.
Big pile of watermelons. And discussing the watermelon situation on the way up, we came up with something that we thought would be hilariously funny.
Good plan. We had a plan.
I'm sure you all did.
And of course, it involved Larry Klunk doing the dirty work.
Yeah. And this is after he drank all the way to the fair, drank at the beer stand at the fair, and ate all this stuff, and now he's drinking on his way home.
We say, okay,
now he's got a bottle of, what did he have, schnapps or?
I don't know. So how
old were you guys at this time?
We were just children, so we can't blame us for anything
so
we did.
Well, it's past you know, laws on that, restraints.
We're all
20s.
We weren't doing anything illegal.
No, it was all in our 20s.
20s, okay, good.
So we knew there was this pile of watermelons. We said, Larry, you know what would be really, really funny? You know, we're going to go buy a watermelon. And it's not we're going to steal anything. The humor purposes. Yeah. They said, go to that watermelon pile and sort through them. I mean,
Every
question you ever want to know about watermelons, you know, pick them up, tap them, shake them.
What variety
you know,
is
kind of hold them up for a bit.
How long have they been here?
You know, and after the guy has helped you pick out your favorite absolute best watermelon. Just pick it up, bash it on your head, and smash it right there in front of you. Right over your head.
Over your head.
Okay, so he's had a few beers.
Yeah. Lots.
So
Larry.
Oh, yeah, I can say, yeah, that sounds good.
He is ready to do this.
All right.
So we go up to watermelon stand. Larry gets out, goes through, hi, I'm looking for a watermelon, you know, and he's just as polite and kind as he can be, and the guy helps him pick out a watermelon after looking at a whole bunch of them and thumping them. Larry says thank you and gives him his money and then proceeds to take the watermelon, holds it directly above his head, and just smashes it down as hard as he can, and the watermelon didn't break. It buckled Larry's knees and dropped him to the ground.
That didn't stop Larry. He tried again and again.
And the guy's watching him like, wow, are you insane? What's the matter with that? So finally, Larry gives up. You know, we take the watermelon, right? And we're going to drive home. So now Larry has decided that
he's going to eat the watermelon.
No, he plugs it.
Oh, that's right. He's going to plug it like Sergeant Carter did on that episode of Gomer Pyle.
So he cuts a little triangle part out, takes his beer that he's got.
It wasn't beer. It was vodka or schnapps or something.
It was vodka and beer, too, and dumps it all into the watermelon and proceeds to drink it the rest of the way back to Jersey.
It's just a mess. I mean.
Whose vehicle was it?
It was Rick's. Mine. But he's just got.
He's in the back seat.
He's got alcohol and watermelon and whatever food he had ate earlier, just all down him like a child. You know, he should have been wearing a bib.
So we're going to the Oktoberfest at the fair at the Jerseyville at the time.
Right.
When we come back.
No, it wasn't Oktoberfest because it was
summertime.
State fair's in August. But
there was something going on at the fairground. So because we have to change because Larry's a mess. So we pull over to the side of the road and Larry's got his extra clothes with him.
In a duffel bag.
You know, looks both ways to make sure.
Up
no
the
one's
highway,
looking.
Down the highway, and just strips naked right alongside the road
to change. You know, and then.
But he didn't bother to look
behind him, where there's these old people sitting on the porch.
Oh no! Oh
it's like a
no!
Family get together at his house.
He just looks over. And says,
there he is.
Good afternoon, and gets in the car.
And away he goes. You know those people on the porch? They got a story for their lifetime.
Probably do.
Still then we go back to the place where he eats corn on the cob and drinks the rest of the evening.
And then we took him home. He spent the rest of the night throwing up.
He said he just stood in the shower in the basement.
And threw up.
And washed himself off after it was done.
Wow.
Over and over.
Did he show up for work the next day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But his mother, next time we were at his house, said, what'd you do to my boy?
Tried to stop him over and over. Sorry, Alice. There's nothing we could do.
I went to visit Alice, you know, and she was in the hospital. This was a few years ago.
Larry's mother.
Yes.
And she's there, and Larry's oldest sister is there, and we're sitting there kind of talking. And I said, oh, I need to show you this picture. And I'm showing it to Pam, and she's kind of scrolling through my pictures. She says, oh, that's a nice one. Oh, look at that. And going on and on. And finally, Alice says, well, let me see. And what I was showing her were pictures of deer that I'd killed. And she says, I don't want to see no damn deer. I want to see pictures of your kids. I thought you were showing children pictures. Just kind of throws the phone back at me. Sorry, I don't have any pictures of my kids.
That never crossed my mind.
I should do that.
My son-in-law shot this one.
Yeah.
My daughter shot this one.
Right.
And I shot this one.
This is way more interesting.
Verily. Okay, before we get into your topic, let's do our commercial.
Hello, my name is Doyle McIntyre, owner and operator of Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosive store. Fall is just around the corner, and you will soon be wanting to be stocking up on your tertiary explosives and blasting agents. In our newly repaired showroom, we have a full selection of initiation sequencers, tetrides, and fulminates to celebrate our grand Tony, damn it, I told you to put that box down.
Well.
Sounds like they're going to have to remodel again.
I think so. That happens every once in a while.
They just finished up.
Well.
I hope everybody's okay.
Have we got a new sponsor yet?
No, we need one. I'm just kind of curious if we If
that doesn't bother you at all.
It just kind of goes on like nothing happened. Did the computer blow
should we,
up?
Should we call him?
I'm thinking, wait a couple days.
He might resurrect out of that.
See where you get a new commercial sent to you.
Yeah. We'll send Dennis over to check on him.
No, good answer.
Got to get him up, though.
What did he mean by the busy fall season? What do they have to blow up more in the fall than any other time of year?
Pumpkins. Watermelons.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, you had words you were going to ask us about.
No, I wasn't going to ask you about words.
Well, I thought that's what you were going to ask.
It's a different thing.
It's situations.
Oh, okay.
We are good with situations.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we'll see about that. It's common anxiety triggers.
Okay.
I was going to see if you guys have issues with any of these things. Do you have anxiety over performance?
No. What kind of performance?
Okay, they have athletic competition.
Oh!
Okay.
What was that all about?
They have...
I don't get it. Sorry.
He had a sock over the microphone.
Oh. I see that, but I thought that was just a windbreak or something for you.
That may have something to do with why you kept saying, you know, this mic isn't that good tonight.
Yeah, okay. So anxiety over an athletic competition. Okay, let's say, you know, your team is...
That performance anxiety concerned me.
Your team is...
Depends on what you're saying here.
Your team is down by one run. It's the bottom of the ninth. Bases are loaded, and you're up to bat. Would you have anxiety in that kind of situation?
Bring it on. I would say, don't put anyone else on that spot, coach. This is the job you hired me to do.
I was born for this moment.
I think that's pretty good confidence. I think that's the same way. I think if you're in the moment and you're really in the competition of the game, that you want to be there. And I think
that's like a relief pitcher, man. Yeah. They know they're coming in. They're coming into the hot spot. This is what you give me the big money for.
Have either of you ever been in a situation like that?
No. I've been 1-1 at a free throw line with a game on the line.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
Had to go out.
I made the first one and missed the second one, but the first one was good enough because we won. But,
So you won the game.
So you were Richie Cunningham, and they carried you off on the shoulder?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. But you didn't feel anything. You just, you know, you boxed everything out.
Did you get the girl?
No. Now, just not a good night. But other than that.
I would think that if you had won the big game like that, Betty and Veronica would have thrown themselves at you.
It would have been nice.
You could have gone uptown, got a free milkshake. Hey, there's the guy that won the game for us right there, Greg Ringhausen.
Yeah, I walked in.
Come on up here. I'll give you a free milkshake.
The way that works is that then he gets a big head, and for the rest next week, you know, he's just like, you know, too good to be around, and they put him in the next game. But with the same situation.
Here's the goat.
Here's the Paul Harvey. Here's the rest of the story. I've been to the free throw line that game prior to that 5 times and missed the free throws. So finally,
you missed 5 in a row?
Five different shots at it, yeah. So I finally made it on the 6th.
I'm surprised you were still in the game at all. Only there's 5 guys on the team?
Well, the other four the other four fouled out, yeah. No, I had another opportunity. I missed it, but on this one.
I'm talking about performing on a stage, Rick.
I would have no problem at all with that.
Okay.
It's just like politics.
What?
Huh? How's that?
Politics is performance.
You mean standing up, giving a speech or
something? Yeah.
Well, public speaking's another one.
All right.
Musical performance? You okay with that? You ever get nervous?
Should I go get my banjo?
Please, no.
You should be nervous.
Yep.
Everybody else should be nervous right now.
Yeah.
Performance?
It doesn't bother me to perform.
I think that when people talk about a performance, they're talking about having some talent to present, aren't they?
More likely. I mean, sometimes you just got to be afraid that you just can't play it well. So you brought up public speaking. You don't have an issue with that, do you? No, I don't either.
Do you want 30 minutes of it?
Yeah, we got about 25 of it, I think.
All right.
Okay.
No, I'm not nervous when I... Do you want, no stress there.
Do you want people to come back?
Crowds are getting smaller.
Oh, tell Greg about the tipping point for advertisement in the world of podcasts.
Oh, yeah. They'll sell advertisements just as soon as we have 2,000 listeners per episode.
We better get busy, I think.
2,000 listeners per episode.
We got to get a little busier than what we're doing here now.
There's other people out there saying, you don't deserve it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, here's one anxious situation. Making small talk.
Oh, yeah, I'm not good at that. Gets me a little nervous sometimes. And I think if you're not nervous...
What the hell is this?
That's like when...
This is as small as it gets.
No, no, no. It's but like I'm just talking if you don't know
junior in high school and you're going to call up a girl and ask her out on a date for the first time on the phone, you're going to call... Hello, Mrs. Walters, is Deanna in, please?
Really?
You did that? I don't see why.
Let me ask this. Were you know, was your intimidation level, the prettier the girl, the higher your intimidation level?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. Well.
Oh, yeah. I think so. But I don't know.
I never had that issue. I was just saying to everybody because I knew they would all reject me equally.
Yeah. Alan Ringhausen's on the phone. Yeah, let me talk to him.
Tell him I'm busy committing suicide.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't go to the prom. I'm helping mom pick out cabbages.
Well, and pick the heavy ones. Cutting them into steaks.
Pick the heavy ones.
Okay, well, here, the next topic is dating, okay? Man, so, finally, you talk some girl into going out with you.
Suzanne.
Right.
Do you ever wonder about that, what in God's name possessed her?
I still do. Why is she still here?
She still is.
Yeah, there's nothing that requires her to stay here, is there? Other than her solemn oath to God to be with me until she dies.
You think she'll ever wake up and say, my God, I'm married down. I settled. I could do better.
She already has.
No. None of our wives had to settle. They all look in the mirror every morning and go, thank you, God.
Whoa. Pretty confident about that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the other way around.
I think so.
I think it's,
Rick goes, wake gets up, on his knees and
cry.
Please be there when I wake up.
You know, I could have married Horace Potunkin and been, we could have lived at the hardware store and had a good living. But no, I had to marry a guy on the radio.
Yeah, they list it as the dating as making the first phone call, which you've covered, going on the first date, and then the potential of having sex.
Well, that was out the door right away.
Was that still on the first date?
Wow.
No, that's just the process.
Okay.
That's the ultimate goal. Yeah, well, exactly. I guess marriage, but or, I don't know.
Yeah.
What order you put things in.
Yeah.
Well, yes, wow. Get married first.
Okay. Wow. If you have anxiety, you may fear, I don't get this one, riding in front of others.
Oh, you're
like riding horses?
It says it stems from the fear that others will see your hands shake as you write.
Abraham Lincoln, when he was going to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, started to sign it and then stopped and said, bring him another copy, that his hand was shaking and he didn't want anyone to think that he had any qualms about signing it at all. So he took a second and cracked his knuckles and, you know, drew a couple pictures of dogs and stuff, and then he signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Okay.
Because he had document signing anxiety?
He didn't want anyone to think that he did. Right. He'd been shaking hands all day.
That was a pretty simple.
Had a bit of a tremor, and he didn't want anyone to think that it was shaking because of that.
That was a pretty significant document. So I could see there'd be some angst on that.
Got him killed, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, eventually.
Okay, here's another situation. Stating your opinion.
Is that stressful for you?
It is for some people. You know, like some people be in a crowd and there's a whole bunch of people of one opinion.
Oh, well, you're talking about standing down a mob?
Well, no, just
not
just
a mob.
What are you, Atticus Finch?
Okay, let's just say that you're with a group. Okay, and we're going into a pretend realm here. Say you're standing with a group of friends.
And,
okay,
and you have
and there's like six or eight of them, and the majority of them
wants to go
feel differently
beer.
Than you do about a particular subject, and so then since you're in the minority, you're afraid to speak up. It doesn't automatically turn into an angry mob.
No, they just may smack you a couple times, but...
You stood up to your friends? Said, no, I'm not doing that.
Have I stood up to my friends? Absolutely, because they're a bunch of idiots.
No, I'm not going to smash a watermelon on my head.
That wasn't standing up to Larry. That was talking Larry into doing something bad.
You see, and that's what his mother on her deathbed was accusing you of.
Treating Larry badly.
But no,
but talking Larry,
putting her son at risk.
But in defense of you,
leading her son down the wrong path.
In defense of you, gentlemen, he had been drinking quite a bit. And
nobody forced him to drink, did they?
No. And, you know, if you say, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Give me that watermelon. Yeah,
let me tell
I
you something.
Where that.
I dare you to smash that watermelon.
And you drank a bottle of what?
If there's a great big drunken guy in a bar, there are always people who will talk him into doing something. So he might as well have someone that cares for him, that's looking out for him, that's talking him into things. Like Alan.
You did it more than I did.
With Larry?
Oh, God,
oh,
yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, true. Yes, you did.
No, that's a big lie.
All right, here's another one. I don't get this one at all either. It says, some people have a fear of eating in front of others.
Or some people...
Eating?
Eating in front of others.
There's some people that you can see them digest.
I hate eating in front of other people, and I don't like to see other people eat.
But there's some people just, you know... really don't know how to eat, and wow.
There was this kid in school. I was in grade school, and you know, everybody's eating their lunch and stuff, and he'd like take a couple of bites and still have the food in his mouth and then just start slugging down his milk and then start chewing it again. And I'm thinking,
oh,
you know, it's like
man.
Making milk pudding right there in his mouth. You know, it's just like, God, stop it. I just freaked me out.
Isn't that the sort of thing that once a kid knows it freaks someone else out, they just do it all the time?
He wasn't doing it to freak people out. He was doing it because that's how he ate every single meal.
Wow. Someone never told him about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, what are you talking about? This is how I always eat.
What about being... Okay, what about...
Did you notice that nobody else does?
What about being touched? You're standing someplace, a friend of yours comes up and puts his arm around your shoulder. Anxiety.
Okay, no. If I'm in a public restroom and
no, that
does
it. That, that's
they
different.
They didn't say it was in the restroom. Well, yeah. You run into someone in the hallway. Here's my old buddy Allie. He puts his arm around you.
That happens a lot. Especially.
Okay,
that...
first of all, I don't like to be touched anyway. I don't like to eat in front of other people. I don't like other people. And I don't touch other
people.
You're
just like a poster child of anxiety.
I think he is.
I don't think I am. I couldn't ever go on a date again.
Thank God.
Yes.
Let's just say.
Oh, I forgot. Wait, before you start. Me and Greg ran into the East Coast Ringhouse and Cousins today.
Oh, that's right. There are a few ringhouses scattered around the country. I know of.
And you know what? They're the huggers.
They are.
Yeah, I know.
And
did
we
you
got
get hugged,
hugged,
Greg?
Did you get hugged? Yes, I did. Three times.
I got hugged by every one of them. Yes, sir, Bob.
Yep.
I offered, and Tim Ringhausen was there. I watched him hug him. I really reached
did
over.
Did you go over and hug
over,
him?
I said, Tim, give me a hug. Yeah. And he punched me.
He did. He punched. I saw that.
In the face?
No,
in the lip? Shoulder,
on the
is
arm.
That what that cuts from?
You know.
There he says, here's one of my hugs. Poof.
wow. But Tim's wasn't as strong as Brad's.
It wasn't like Bruce hit me.
Was Brad there?
No. Oh. I'm just saying, I remember when Brad hit Rick in the shoulder.
Yeah, well, I bet I could break those East Coast ring houses of that hugging thing.
I don't think you could.
You want to know how I'm going to do it?
How?
I'm going to hug real hard. I just don't let go.
I think they like
I
that.
Think, and I think they could take you.
And I think they would hug back just as hard.
You think?
That's not going to do anything. Huh?
They'd squeeze you like you were packing a mustard.
They'd have a python grip on you, man.
Okay. Let's say that I went and picked peaches all morning.
They still
and I'm
would
all
do that.
Sweaty and nope. And I got peach fuzz on me and
not these people.
And nope. I give them a big hug. Come yep. on in. Come you, on in here and give me a big you, big sweaty hug.
And you'd get it.
Yep.
No, what if?
No, there's no situation.
You know, and here's the thing. Uncle Bob and Aunt Vaughn.
What if I was?
They were both from Calhoun. It's not like Uncle Bob went and married an East Coaster.
Right.
She was from there. They've picked that up someplace, okay, moving out to the
nobody
East Coast.
Listening knows where Calhoun is.
It's in the middle of the country.
They'll think you're talking about Georgia.
Smack dab in the middle of Calhoun.
It's yeah. absolutely in the middle of the United States. On the Mississippi River in
Mississippi
Illinois.
And Illinois River. Where they come down.
It's
Peninsula.
Not necessarily the geographic center, but I think it's the population median.
It's
pretty
the,
close.
It's the intelligence center of America.
Yeah.
Right. That went the rest of our listeners.
That went out.
Okay.
And I don't think there's a hugger in the place.
Probably not. Not close.
Calhoun. From where you originated?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't think I can break. What if we had the Cool Hand Luke movie set? And they put me in that,
in the box
for a couple of days.
Yeah, with the baseball.
And then I come out and give them a big hug.
40 in the bunk, one in the box, one in the bush.
What if I came out of the the box all?
The smell's
just,
not going to do it.
Huh?
The smell's not going to do it. They're going to hug it. No, they're going. Bring it on in.
Okay, what if I moved to India, and became one of the untouchables, where you know I work in the sewers. And then come out there after a couple of days' work and
maybe. But you're going to go
give
to India.
A big hug?
You're going to go to
your
India.
Your buddy Ralph would hug you, Ed. Come out of the sewers anyway.
Okay. So there's nothing I can do to to break them down.
Me and Greg will hold you down, hug you right now.
No, you won't.
No, I don't want to try that.
It'd take a strength of 10 Grinches to do that.
Ooh. I got to call Larry Conk down and come in and hug you.
He does have the strength of 10 Grinches.
You know, I know. That's what made me think of it.
All right.
What else on your list of horrifying anxieties?
Oh, yeah. I forgot where we were at here. I'm at the end of the list.
You are, you? Are yeah. we at the end of the time, too?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Timed out perfect. All right. Till next time. And that was the end of the Pile Driver.
All right. Episode 9.
Until next time.
And we got to get a new sponsor. Right?
It sounds
right.
like it. I don't know if he survived that.
Send a card.
Yeah.
See you later from Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network, except no substitutes.